creation. Genesis chapter 1 tells us how God created the heavens and the earth. But what I want to focus on is what this meant for God to do this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." So, to paint a mental picture of this, the earth, as we know it, was then just water. It was formless. It had no shape. It had no substance to it. And the Spirit of God moved across that shapeless void of water. And then in verse 6, he said, "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So now we have an expanse, an opening, a void between the waters. You've got waters on the outside, a void, and water on the inside. "And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and morning a second day." And then in verse 9, God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. God called dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. So from this water, God brings forth land." And then in verse 26, after populating this land with vegetation and with animals, in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the earth, the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day." So God has created this perfect existence. He started with the water. And from that, he created land. He created everything that's on the land. And he created man to oversee it. God created the perfect creation. Man corrupted it. In Genesis chapter 3, we have a story that we're all familiar with of the serpent tempting Eve to do the one thing that God told them not to do. All Eve had to do was simply do what God said to do, and don't do the one thing he said to not do. In chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." So now this perfect creation has had sin enter into it. A violation of the laws of God, separation from God. The sin continued. Chapter 4 and verse 1. The man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, Will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. So now this perfect creation has begun to kill each other. We find in Genesis chapter 6, the time period passes where the corruption of man has become so intense, so extensive, that we have the description here that it came about in verse 1, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. So we have this description of the wickedness was so great that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was on evil continually. Now, that's pretty bad. We have, in our society, we have people who do bad things. And we have people who act out of selfish, evil intentions, even doing what is legally right, but not morally so. But to the extent that every thought of the heart of man was on evil continually. Total corruption of this creation that God had made. In verse 11 of chapter 6, it says, Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. This was total corruption. So God created it, man corrupted it. How does God fix it? Well, it can't be fixed. So what God does is He renews it. And He renews the earth through water. In chapter 7, beginning in verse 17, Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark, so it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky. They were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. The water prevailed on the earth 150 days. So these flood waters consumed the earth to wash it clean. Now after this 150 days, and the waters begin to recede, we find in chapter 8 and verse 6, Then it came at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent out a raven. And it flew here and there until water was dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove from him to see if the water was abated from the face of the land. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, so she returned to him into the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark to himself. So he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. The dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. Then he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, but she did not return to him. Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. So the land, once again, came out of the waters. Chapter 9, man was once again given dominion over the earth. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be upon every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I will give all to you as I gave to the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely I will require your lifeblood. From every beast I will require it, and from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. As for you, be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it." So once again, man is given dominion over the earth. And once again, man corrupts it. Genesis chapter 18. In a relatively short period of time, the earth has come to this point. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah are just an example. And we're given that example of the corruption of man, God's attitude towards it, and the extents he's willing to go to wipe it out. In chapter 18, verse 20, "And the Lord said, 'The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly great. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I will know.'" So the next several verses, Abraham tries to bargain for Sodom and Gomorrah to save them. And ultimately, in verse 31, "And he said, 'Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there.' And he said, 'I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, 'Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there.' And he said, 'I will not destroy it on account of the 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place." And we know Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, which means in that entire city, and this isn't just a city, this is an entire valley. There were 5 cities, if I understand correctly, in this valley. This entire valley was destroyed for lack of 10 righteous men. 10. That's it. That's all it would have taken to save this valley. And there were thousands, if not tens of thousands of people in this valley. But the heart of man had corrupted the earth so extensively that the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah brought God to this point of destroying them. Skipping ahead to Israel. Abraham became the father of many nations through Isaac. And now this nation of Israel, this nation that God had promised, this was going to be God's people. In Exodus 32, they've been delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. They are being taken to a place where they will have their own land, their own possession, a land ready for them to take it, what we would call today turnkey. You drive out the people and destroy them, and everything they have is yours. But what do? The first time they get in a bind, and they feel like their leader Moses has abandoned them, they turn to idolatry. In chapter 32, verse 1, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us a god who will go before us. As for Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' Aaron said to them, 'Tear off the gold rings which are on your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf, and they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" This calf that we just now made is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. That level of idolatry, they had no regard for God. Now they are seeing the fruition of a promise that their ancestor had been given by God. It's right there in their grasp. And they're giving everything to this golden calf, to the gods of Egypt. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, after they've taken the land, and Samuel has done a wonderful job of being a judge over them, and following after God and keeping Israel focused there, they don't want that anymore. And in verse 1 it says, "And it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah, and they were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain, and took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, 'Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations.' But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel, when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, 'Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, like all the deeds which they have done since the day I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also.'" Man is corrupt, and these are God's people. Now, we find examples throughout the Old Testament where God displayed his authority over the Gentile nations. But the nation of Israel is the one nation that God said, "These are my people." And they have rejected him. In 1 Kings chapter 11, with Solomon, we find that Solomon brought in an idolatry that existed right up to the very day that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. There was a point where it was removed under Josiah, but only briefly, because Josiah's son brought it back. In chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, 'You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods.' Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully, as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Thus also he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods." Solomon brought this into Israel, and it never left up until the day that Jerusalem was destroyed. And coming up on that destruction, we find how complete this godlessness was. In Jeremiah chapter 5, we've spent quite a bit of time studying Jeremiah and the things that led up to the destruction of Jerusalem. But what's significant here is the extent to which this godlessness went. Because God told Jeremiah, "Roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and now look and take note, and seek in her open squares if you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her." One. He would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10. He would have spared Jerusalem for 1. And these are God's people. These are the heirs of the promise that God made to Abraham. And they are so full of idolatry and so full of following after their own lusts that Jeremiah would not be able to find one in the streets of Jerusalem who was righteous, who did justice, who sought truth. So now it needs a renewal. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that one man, that man being Adam, was how sin entered into the world. says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So this is how sin entered into the world. We already dealt with Adam and how that happened. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching. And he says, starting in verse 14, but Peter, taking his hand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so, because he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Jesus died for that purpose. When the corruption had filled the earth in the days of Noah, God used the water that he had prepared from above and from below to cleanse it, to start over. And he promised he would never do that again. Now that man is corrupted, not just physically, man is corrupted in the spirit. And the only way to fix that is through death. And Jesus filled that need. And in Colossians chapter 2, we find that we have the renewal through baptism. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So, Jesus, through his death, providing us with baptism into that, gives us the renewal. And going back to Romans chapter 5, we look farther down. We saw that at the first part of Romans chapter 5, that by one man sin entered into the world. We pick up in verse 18, it says, "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So here we have the renewal. And just, and all will be destroyed when judgment comes. God destroyed everything by water. Peter tells us that God will destroy everything again in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10. He writes, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." There's an end coming. God created the earth. He destroyed it, recreated it, renewed it. Man corrupted it again. But this time God gave us a spiritual avenue of escape through the waters of baptism, so that we could have that renewal as well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Man corrupted God's creation. God destroyed the entire earth and saved man through water. God renewed man, and he renewed the earth, gave a fresh start. And once again, man corrupted God's creation. Time does not allow us to deal with all the examples post-flood of how man corrupted the earth. It's full of it. And that just deals primarily with the nation of Israel. Our secular history tells us so much more that went on about the corruption of man and how man turned away from God and the evil things that man has done. And how man has corrupted not only the earth that God gave us, but the spirit that dwells within. One day God will destroy the entire earth. But again, he has saved us through water. We have that salvation. Just as the earth was washed away of its sin in the days of Noah, we are washed away of our sins in this life. Invitation song has been selected, number 198. If anyone has needs of the brethren, this is a time that you can make that known, as together we stand and sing.